We're going to read from God's Word now, from the second book of Peter. 2 Peter, chapter 3, and verse 14. In fact, I'll read from verse 10. 2 Peter, chapter 3, from verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Therefore we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless, and consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. Amen. So the passage I want to look at is from verse 14, which of course begins with a therefore. In other words, all the stuff which he's mentioned so far from verses 10 to 13 about the second coming of Jesus Christ and the world as we know it dissolving in that fire. He says, therefore, because of that, look forward to these things. And the more I see of the world in which we live, the more I'm looking forward to that great day when he returns. Yeah. And things don't continue or are permitted to continue as they are doing. So we need to look forward to that day, but also in the meantime to be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And I think that's referring to when Jesus comes back and he finds his people in peace, without spot and blameless. In other words, not troubled by events going on in the world, not worried about his coming, but rather looking forward to it. It will for us be a great day. We look forward to seeing our Saviour and seeing a world which is righteous, which is how it was made and meant to be. But we're also to be without spot and blameless. We've got to live our lives now looking forward to that great event, but also living lives which are worthy of it and worthy of our calling. He talks in verse 15, consider the long suffering of our Lord. It is salvation. Now, how is the patience or the long suffering of the Lord our salvation? Well, this was touched upon, of course, in our Bible week. Why does the Lord tarry? He tarries because he does not desire people to perish, but all should come to salvation. That's in verse 9. And the Lord graciously perhaps postpones that judgment that we might believe and that others might believe as well. Peter then makes another point, and he rather intriguingly mentions Paul. And verse 16 has always made me feel better, because Peter remarks that sometimes Paul writes things which are hard to understand. And there are bits of Paul's writings which I think, actually, what does he mean? And have I got it right? What is he discussing? And evidently there were people in the first century who found some of his writings hard, as there are people in the 21st century. But Peter is encouraging these people. Paul has written to them as well, possibly one of the letters we have in the New Testament. But there is a warning there. Untaught and unstable ones twist to their own destruction. And there is a danger that people will take a text of scripture and reshape it or reform it to match what they already think or what they already believe. The Puritan Thomas Manton spoke of some Christians, so-called, having theology, much like a tailor will make an outfit to match a crooked body. It's we that need to change to be conformed to what the scriptures teach. We're not to twist the scripture or reshape it or reform it to match our existing desires or assumptions. And people were doing it in the first century, and they're doing it in the 21st century, and I dare say they have done it every century in between. And the result is their own destruction. Notice also that Peter considers the writings of Paul to be included in the canon of Scripture. The New Testament apostle had all the authority of an Old Testament prophet, but with better knowledge. So we're urged to look forward to that day in the future when Jesus comes back. We're warned that just because scripture is sometimes hard to follow, we're not to distort it or twist it, because such behaviour leads to destruction. And then in verse 17 there's another warning. You therefore, another therefore, because of the twisting of scripture which has and will and does take place. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness. See, he's writing to people who are steadfast in their faith. And yet, there is a warning here. Make sure you don't fall. You're steadfast, but make sure you remain that way. And part of it, of course, is by not twisting scripture. Every time we read the Bible, we've got to ask ourselves, what did the original author intend? What does the context in which it speaks, what does the context indicate about the meaning? Am I using scripture merely as a peg upon which to frame my own thoughts, or am I yielding my own thoughts to what the Holy Spirit revealed in Scripture? And he warns them about being led away with the error of the wicked. Well, what is the error of the wicked? We can think of lots of errors, we can think of lots of examples of wickedness, but what is the error of the wicked? Well, the error of the wicked is to turn their backs upon God and upon what he has revealed. Think of the righteous man in Psalm 1. He walks alone. He goes against the flow. He doesn't conform to the crowd. So let's make sure we're not led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there is a twofold urging here. Number one, don't be led astray by the wicked, but make sure you grow. Grow in grace and grow in knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. I think that the need for growth is important. I know there are people in this room who are very good at growing things better than I am. But some of the plants I have outside, they just don't appear to grow. They haven't died, and I'm grateful for that. But they're as big now as when I got them a month or two ago. And in that respect, they're a disappointment. The Lord doesn't want us to wither and be led astray by the wicked. But neither does he want us to be static. He wants us to grow. Grow in knowledge and grow in grace. I think knowledge, of course, perhaps is our what we know about God, what we know about his word, and perhaps the grace there bespeaks the behaviour which comes from that knowledge. Scripture never just wants us to fill our heads with knowledge. That knowledge ought to have an outworking in our hands, in our feet, in our mouth, with our eyes and ears. And then Peter concludes, to him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Well, in one respect, we've read a scary passage. It talks about the world burning with fire, and that when that happens, we ought to be found at peace, without spot, and blameless. He anticipates the misunderstanding of Scripture and the advantage that wicked teachers will take of that by twisting it to their own destruction. He's warned them about falling, even though they are currently steadfast. And he's also urged them to keep on growing. And there's an awful lot of challenge in that passage, and yet he concludes by saying, to him be the glory both now and forever. I've got to make sure I don't fall, but I believe he will keep me. I've got to make sure I understand Scripture properly, but his Spirit will direct me. I've not to be found with spots and blameworthy when he comes back, but his own Holy Spirit continues to sanctify me. Therefore, to him be glory, both now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.